amazing unicorns.
Harmon Brothers.
Where are we, Shay?
In the new podcast room.
Oh, new podcast room. I'm pretty pumped about this new podcast room where we're going to be recording the rest of our podcast.
Do you like this podcast room or your wife more?
My wife.
Nice. As it should be.
Like, that was not a trick question. That was just a bad question.
It's time for the marketing headlines.
We got some sad news, but let's start with the happy news.
Yes.
Last year, 2023, do you know what was the most awarded ad of the entire year?
Was it a cereal brand?
Close. Food is the category it's in. Do you want to play 20 questions? Let's do it.
Okay. No, just tell me. Food.
No, you got, okay, come on.
Okay, is it a candy?
It is.
Is it M&M?
No.
Skittles.
All right. You get that in like what, four questions?
Yeah, and you had to listen to it all, you suckers.
But Shay, so smart. Yeah. Okay, so it was DDB Chicago made an ad for Skittles. You know, have you heard about this campaign?
No.
Okay, so the campaign was for Skittles called Apologize the Rainbow. And what it was is 9 years ago, they took out the green Skittle and they changed the flavor because it was lime and then they changed it to green apple. And it, like, I'm not kidding you, even before this campaign came out, like, I remember there's a girl who we paid to do our family photos that we've been doing it for like 10 years. And she always brings candy for our kids to, like, you know, incentivize them to smile. And every time she would bring Skittles, I'm not kidding you, she would go on a tear about these mother effing Skittles. Like, she has a foul mouth that she
would,
like,
never forgive
these
them.
These Skittles are just the worst, green apple. Bring back the lime. Like, she was furious. And so the campaign is brilliant. Do you want to watch the video for it? Okay, here we go.
I remember people talking about this.
Yeah.
So the trickle-down economics of the ad got to me.
Yes, the trickle-down Reaganomics. Here we go.
9 years ago, we took away lime Skittles and replaced them with green apple. Turns out, that was a terrible decision. In fact, 130,880 people complained online.
2013, Skittles upset a lot of people by taking away lime. Skittles will now apologize to everyone who ever complained.
We started by apologizing with a 35-minute press conference, live-streamed on Twitch.
writes, I want lime Skittles. Green apple is garbage. We are sorry. At Matthew Calloway writes, green Skittles are the physical manifestation we are the
piss clamps. Okay, so they have all these statistics that go in here, which is actually, I feel like, for an awareness campaign, kind of rare.
Pretty cool.
But the thing that I thought was so brilliant about this campaign is it took and flipped the narrative in an interesting way. In modern day, like, media, everything is so available and scrutinized to, like, the nth degree. It's not like there's I feel like before the internet and before Twitter and before all this access, there was a little bit of a separation. It was like the only place we ever saw brands was, like, either at the store, on TV, or in print. And there was always, like, a layer of separation and a layer of immediacy that didn't really exist like it does today. And so I think this is so interesting of how they took something that was largely negative about their brand, flipped it on its head, and did the most ridiculous levels of apology where they went to, like, the nth degree to, like, Times Square, that ridiculously huge, like, list of all the people that they tweeted. They apologized directly to him and directly retweeting, like, 35,000 people.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. Like,
yeah. And they didn't change the flavor back. Did they?
No, they did.
They changed it.
Oh, and so it was also, like, in a way to announce to the world that lime was back and green apple was out. But they, instead of, like, because it could have just been like, because Coke has done this where they've changed their recipe and they just kind of, like, it is what it is. And then, like, even if they changed anything back, I think they changed it back once, but they never, like, they just changed it back and was like,
they didn't say anything.
It, you know, if anything, it's like a press release that doesn't say sorry. It's more like, it's back, you know, the original Coke versus these guys leaned so far into it. And I think this took some guts because I feel like this is a pitch I would hear, like, we'd probably give to clients all the time, like, where we're like, let's go big and let's lean into this. Brands are typically so, like, hesitant to be, like, admitting fault because there's so much, like, don't want to, like, apologize. But I think this is, like, it works really well, especially for someone like Skittles, who's viewed as a huge brand and has tons of, like, attention on it and in the sense of, like, lots of people are familiar with it. Like, there's a lot of brand equity there. I could see them being like, that's really scary to admit that we were wrong and like admit like, and some of the tweets were amazing. It's like, this tastes like clam juice or something like that, clam piss. And I was like, it's pretty scathing. And I think it's really like, I don't know, there's some level of like self-awareness and be like, yeah, we screwed up. We're okay with it. We're going to poke fun at it and even like pour some salt in our own wound in a way and like make restitution. So I think the takeaways we have here is just don't take yourself too seriously. When you screw up, admit it. Maybe try and make it right by making it super funny and super self-aware and say sorry.
Yeah.
Fix it. And when you listen to your customers, shout it from the rooftop so they know you're listening to them and turn it into an opportunity.
Mm.
What do you got, Shay?
Okay. This is interesting. There's going to be reoccurring themes in this podcast. Gap came out with a campaign. It's a nostalgic kind of homage to their 90s campaign, where dancers were strutting in khakis and denim.
Mm-hmm.
But this time they're doing it in a linen collection, and they collaborated with Tyla, who is a Grammy award winning, very fun, look her up, great music. And they're all dancing, and it's taken social media by storm. I've seen a lot of people liking it, and then I've also seen a lot of people analyzing it and saying, why is this done so well? And I think the takeaway is they are using the...
Can we watch it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I just want to make sure I'm informed.
Yeah.
This is the Gap Jungle linen one, this one right here.
And then this is the old one.
Very different.
Very
Matrix. Definitely more hip music.
Yeah, definitely cooler.
Jump jive.
They look less like Best Buy employees in the new one.
And I'm pretty sure that song wasn't cool in 98.
Yeah.
Get me wrong.
The two smart things that they did. One, nostalgia. I think it's huge right now. I think people are like, I'm uncomfortable in my life. I miss the comfy days of Winnie the Pooh.
Of TGI Fridays, yeah. Like watching Full House,
yes.
Wearing your Gap sweater and like feeling so cool.
And then two, I think they're reminding people of their prime. And I think for any companies who feel that they are slipping from
relevancy,
yeah. I think it's a good idea to be like, well, what did make us successful? And are there any aspects of that we can reinvent today?
Should we get into the depressing stuff?
Let's do it.
Okay. So this week, just barely, the House passed a bill. So it still has to go to the Senate. But President Biden said he would sign this if it passed the Senate. He wouldn't veto it. It would basically make TikTok illegal in the United States unless the majority shareholder, which is a Chinese company, sells the majority of their shares to a US-based company. I felt like there was a while where there's a wave of like, oh my gosh, is TikTok gonna be banned? And it felt like it like died out. And then all of a sudden, like in the last 2 weeks, it's like, bleh! Like this bill just got crazy support in the House. It was only like, I think it was only like 30 people on Democrats and Republicans total that like voted against it. So it has like really unanimous support. I think they're assuming the Senate's gonna be a little bit harder, but it is crazy because this is kind of unprecedented. We've never had a tech platform or social media platform of this size be unilaterally banned. And it's like really unclear of how that would be,
implemented.
It's crazy. Cause like Shay, you might be able to speak to this. Like there are some people that like TikTok has become a huge part of their livelihood and a huge part of like building audiences that hasn't been able to be replicated in other places. Right.
Yeah.
Like, cause like TikTok has been replicated on YouTube with shorts and Instagram with stories, but like none of them have actually kind of replicated that same type of like network effect, I think, as well as TikTok has. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the algorithm seems to be pretty different from Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of creators who, yeah, that's their job. I've seen so many people saying like, okay, can't wait to work at Einstein's Bagels.
Because I have no other skills besides bageling.
I mean, that's not everybody. And there's nothing wrong with bageling, honestly. Wrong with that's them. A great skill. But I do think it'll be interesting to see even how that affects the economy of all these people who will be looking for a job.
And I mean, depending on how severe the ban is on it, it'll be really interesting to see both YouTube and Meta's response to this.
Yeah.
Because if it's pretty restrictive and it's like the only way you can do it is pay for like an $80 a year VPN, like, and they can, you know, they're getting a decent amount of content over there. If they're going to put a huge amount of money and time into optimizing that algorithm, making it feel more like a TikTok experience, or if they're just going to be like, oh, great, free market share. Like, we'll just do the same thing. You know what I mean? It'll be really interesting to see how they capitalize on that.
So what do you think you would tell businesses to prepare for? Like, or...
Yeah, good question.
Good question, Trey.
I think if I were a business, because I mean, like, a lot of our traffic for Harmon Brothers and a lot of the ads we do isn't focused on TikTok currently. There's a small portion of it that is. But I would say continue doing what you're doing, because I think the content you build there is still going to have a place on Reels and Stories and Shorts on those other platforms. I don't know how it's actually going to be received or whether it's going to actually have the same reach, but like a lot of the same content does do well on all those platforms. It does. I mean, obviously, you know, Shay, it varies and it might not get picked up as much as TikTok, because TikTok feels like it's 100% just like reward the view regardless of how many followers. I feel like there's, I've seen videos where like some people have like 5 videos on their TikTok account and they have like one that has like 40 million views. And you're like, oh, whoa, this person just literally pulled like the jackpot, like on their first roll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just boom. So I think that's less on YouTube. Like it's less on Facebook and Instagram, where it's weighted more towards how many followers do you have and how much reach am I going to give you?
And I think, who knows if it will happen? I truly don't know. I cannot guess.
Yeah.
But I think be prepared. I imagine more viewers will trickle to YouTube and Instagram. And so I'd say be prepared for that to happen with whatever content you're prepping for.
If I were Twitter or Elon Musk at X, I'd be like, this is the perfect opportunity. I'm going to build this thing in like 10 minutes, get like an MVP out, and just like totally like 100%. It's just based on views. It's not based on following. It's just like, what are people watching? Get that thing to the top.
Yeah.
So I think for anyway, to wrap it up, I think it's a real possibility. And like, if you have a lot of content that is doing well from an e-commerce side and like an ad buying side, I would probably start testing out doing stories or other things like on different platforms with shorts, stories and reels, to see if you can replicate some of that to mitigate some of that risk. Because I think this is probably, I mean, the biggest existential risk of like a full platform disappearance overnight. Because even if people are VPNing into that like content,
you'll
like,
lose some viewers. You'll lose, for sure.
I would say you lose a majority of them. Mm-hmm. So like the opportunities to market and the probably the cost, the CPM, the cost per thousand impressions, are going to go insane inside the United States because there's way less traffic. And so when there's way less traffic, supply goes way down and the cost goes crazy high.
Yeah.
To summarize TikTok, it could genuinely be banned, guys. Like legitimately could be banned in just a matter of weeks.
I hope it's not personally.
You hope it's not.
I'm very
Your
biased.
Livelihood is very much on that.
I mean, it's not depending on it, but I want to be famous.
At the Improv Girl.
Yeah.
But it's a real threat. So I would say to people who are in that space that use a lot of that content on TikTok as a primary means of prospecting, start testing it out on the other platforms. There's already placements in there that content already does well and is formatted properly for. But also don't stop. Like I wouldn't stop producing that content.
No, and in fact, see if you can convert your TikTok audience to Instagram if that's where the majority of your following is.
Correct, yeah.
Adidas fell off for a little bit.
All day I dream about sports.
It went down in funding.
Oh my gosh, they posted their first annual loss since 1992.
Exactly.
I'm sorry if I stole your headline.
No.
That is shocking.
It's crazy, right?
That is 22 years of posting profits. That's going through every major like recession. Like I mean, that's going through like the dot-com bubble bust, like 2001, like 2008.
They reduced their marketing spend. And that seemed to help in 2023, but they're not out of the clear yet. But they said their strategy is to be even more visible in sports. So they're trying to reach all kind of sports, even outside of the mainstream. So football, of course, but they're also trying to get into Euro sports, Olympics.
So they're just trying to go after like every sport. Like,
every sport.
Like, let's see if we can get back into basketball big.
Maybe they'll do pickleball.
Maybe they'll do pickleball. That's huge.
Maybe they'll do bowling.
Curling. Who's to say?
Maybe they'll do ping pong.
Ping pong.
Well, let's wrap up this episode.
Yeah, let's do it. We covered a lot of ground.
Thank you for watching Raising Unicorns.
Subscribe now.